Good morning to you, friends. Let me pray for us before we begin. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've got three words for you. I wonder if you're familiar with them. You're not listening. Are you familiar with these three words, or is it just me? These words are very familiar to me. I admit to you, here today, I'm not a very good listener. I constantly am processing what I've heard, and you've probably heard before that men and women, you know, they think differently. Well, I testify that that is definitely true. I can't multitask. I've got one box for one thing at one time. Think about that thing. And if I need to think about something else, I've got to shut the lid, and then I have to give my attention to something else. So I often find myself deeply thinking about things, and then when someone talks to me, I have to force myself to stop thinking about it, and it's not very easy for me. Now, husbands, I wonder in the room who is guilty of this. My wife will definitely testify to you that I am not a good listener. I feel that sometimes she tells me things and sometimes I just don't understand it. It's because I just admitted to you I'm thinking about something else, so I've got to switch it off, but I'm not very good at switching it off. Sometimes she speaks to me and I just respond, but I don't listen. So she might say to me, "Did you get Piper dressed?" And I'll say, "No." "Did you ask me to get Piper dressed?" And she'll say, "Yes, I asked you to get Piper dressed. You said you would do it." And like the good husband I am, I'll deny the conversation ever took place. In fact, I asked her to be honest with me during the week and give me a ballpark figure on how many times she has thought or said these words, "You're not listening," just in the month of July. Now, she knows this is for the sermon. I don't know whether she's mixed the figures up or not. I was thinking maybe 5 or 10 times, perhaps she would say. Do you know what she said? Honest quote. Maybe 20. I think I say it almost every day. I shouldn't have asked. But isn't it incredible how good we are at listening when things get serious? What about when you're at the doctor's office and you're about to get results of a test? You become the best listener in the world, don't you? You're glued to every word that is coming out of the doctor's mouth, and you're even bold enough to ask for layman's terms if you don't understand what's just been said. James today, he challenges us on our listening, on how we listen to God. And I invite you, friends, open up James chapter 1. Verses 16 to 27 now. And James is challenging a church, remember. He's challenging Jewish Christians. He's challenging Christians about listening to God. And we sometimes think that half listening to God is good enough. You know, we get the gist of an idea and that's okay. James warns us three times in our passage today not to be deceived. Do not be deceived. Verses 26, I should start the other way. Verse 16, 22 and 26. So James is very concerned about us not being deceived. He doesn't want us to make any mistake about what he's about to say. And he talks about God, about listening to God, and about allowing God's word to change our hearts as we listen. If you remember last week, James covered how God uses trials in our lives, that Christians will go through trials, but they are for our good. That they will mature our faith and they will allow us to depend on God. And with this in mind, I think James realizes that Christians could naturally think, well, why would we serve a God like that? Why would we serve a God who's going to make us go through trials? Perhaps God is not good. And so he spends a small amount of time reminding us of the goodness of God. Verses 16 to 18, follow along in your Bibles. "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. There it is. Do not be deceived. Opens up. Do not be deceived. James does not want us to make any mistake about what he's about to say. And what does he say? He tells us about God. He tells us that God is the source of all good things, of good gifts. It's so easy for us to forget how good God is. We lose sight of the good things God does for us and has given us. And James reminds us of the goodness of God. Every good and perfect gift is from above, James says. These things come from God. He also says that God is the Father of heavenly light. So he's reminding us that God is the sovereign creator. He's the Father. He's the one who rules over his creation. He is the one who made the stars. He's the one who made the heavens. He is the one who put them in place. He is glorious. He is a glorious God. He is above all, and he rules over all things. James also reminds us that God is dependable. He doesn't change, you can see there in verse 17. Even though God was the one who made the heavenly lights, and they do change position in the sky, we know this, he himself does not change. God does not move or change like shifting shadows. I wonder if you've watched this new TV show released this year called Miracle Workers. I haven't watched it, admittedly, yet. I've heard some good things. I've read a bit about it, though. And it's centered on God, who's played by an aging male, who's a bit bored with the earth, and he wants to quit. He wants out. He wants to start again because humanity, you know, they screwed it up from his original intention, and he wants a clean slate. He wants to pack it all in and start again. But friends, we know God is not like this. He doesn't enjoy our company for a time and then forget about us. God is with us always. He is always good to us. He doesn't change. He doesn't change like the shifting shadows. He is committed to you as his child. And this never changes. And friends, this is how good God is. Verse 18. God chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So not only is God the sovereign creator, not only is God dependable, he's gracious. Last week we looked at how James uses this idea of giving birth, and it was quite negative. There was this sinful cycle that we saw at the beginning of James, that, you know, desire gives birth to sin and sin gives birth to death. But instead, James shows us now how good God is. God is so gracious, he gives us a new cycle. The only answer to the cycle of sin and death is new birth. And he gives this new birth to those who trust in Jesus. And what is the result of our giving birth to sin? It's death. But have a look at what our result of this new birth is in verse 18. The result of new birth through the word of truth, it brings fruit. It brings life. Complete opposite. That is how good God is. He has changed our cycle from giving birth from sin and death to life. So James says to Christians, don't be deceived. God is a good God. And now, having reminded Christians who have gone through trial about the goodness of God, James now wants us to know how important it is to listen to this good God. Half listening is not enough. Friends, we need to give God our full and undivided attention. And this speaks to me too. If we've been given new birth, if that's what God has offered to us, new birth through the word of truth, it matters we listen to the truth. James wants to show us how important it is that our character and our attitudes are right. And he does this by pointing out the standards that God expects of us. Look at verses 19 to 21. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So James has pointed out we are given new birth as Christians through the word. And I think he's challenging us now in how we handle ourselves as a follower of Jesus. And we find out immediately that the standard of being a follower of Jesus, it's high, isn't it? It's a high bar. James says we ought to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, and get rid of all moral filth. That is, get rid of inappropriateness in our life. That is a challenging standard. So friends, how do you handle yourself as a follower of Jesus? It's a lot easier to be the opposite of these things, isn't it? To be the one who speaks rather than listens, to be the one who hurts with words, to be the one who gets angry over little things, to be inappropriate when it feels like it's okay to be inappropriate. Verse 21, James says, no, friends, the word is planted inside of you. We need to accept the word planted in us, the word that can save us. The work has been done. Yes. The work is planted in us. Yes. But it doesn't mean that our role is to now take the back seat. We don't just sit back and do nothing while the word automatically grows inside of us. We still need to be accountable for our actions. We have a high standard as Christians. And so we've got to be ruthless with our sin. We've got to get rid of it. So how do we get rid of our sin? Verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do you find that interesting? I find that so striking that James actually says to Christians, don't just listen to the word. You're deceiving yourself if you only listen. Wow. Do what it says. And so, friends, the big question for all of us then is, how is our listening? How are your listening skills? What place do you give the word of God in your life? Are you listening to him not just now on a Sunday morning, but are you listening to him on a daily basis? Because he desires to speak to you. So do we listen? I think the hardest part of listening to God for us is that we often justify it in our minds that we don't have time to listen to him, or perhaps we simply don't give the time for him. We feel our lives are so busy that we don't give time to the creator of the universe. But he does want us to listen to him. We know we're supposed to give time to God. We know that. We know we're supposed to let him speak to us. We know we're supposed to get to know him, to learn from him, to talk to him in prayer. We know that God's word is supposed to transform and change us. And so the question is, how's it going for you? How are your listening skills? Perhaps you've been guilty of this like I have. Perhaps your morning looks like this. You get up. You get ready for work, you shower, you eat your breakfast, or perhaps you have breakfast in the car or on the train, depending on the time. And then you remember about 10 minutes before you arrive at your destination that you haven't spent time with God today. So you park your car quickly, or you're on the train and you've got a few stops to go, and you think, yep, I've got 5 minutes. So then you say something like this, Lord, speak to me. You've got 5 minutes to teach me something. Go. And then we read quickly, and we're not really taking in what we've read. We're not affected by what we read, because we haven't really given any proper time to actually listen to what God is teaching us. And so James says how we approach the word, how we listen to God, must be nurtured. And he uses this beautiful illustration on how we can nurture this gift inside of us. And friends, I'm going to be honest with you. I think this is possibly one of my favorite illustrations in all of Scripture. Let's look at this in verses 23 to 25. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. James says, if we want to grow, if we want to nurture and grow the word planted in us, we need to think about the word the way we think about mirrors. As you stare at a mirror, have you ever thought about how you use it? We use mirrors, and they used mirrors often, two millennia back, 2000 years ago. We use mirrors to look at ourselves and evaluate how we look. Mirrors are there, they show us our reflection, but have you thought about how we actually use mirrors? It's odd, isn't it? Because the way we use mirrors is we look at ourselves to see the flaws. We see the flaws and the problems in ourselves so that we can sort them out. You know, I woke up this morning, I looked in the mirror, I thought, yep, I've got to do my hair. I see the flaw. James says, the word of God is like a mirror. The word of God is like a mirror because it shows us ourselves, our true selves. It lays ourselves, our hearts, our sin problems. Everything is laid bare as we gaze into God's word. And just like how we gaze at a mirror, as we read God's word, as we listen to God's word, we see ourselves, our true selves, what we are truly like. It exposes us. It shows us perhaps our sinful motives. It shows us things about ourselves that we hate, just like mirrors do. It shows us things that we never knew. And it causes us to act on what we see. And James's point here is, what sort of person would look into a mirror, see the problems they need to rectify, and then walk away and not address the problems? It would be completely ridiculous. You know, imagine you're out for lunch, a work lunch on a Friday. You decide to get the salad because you're eating healthy today. You get a nice lamb salad with all different nuts and seeds and spinach. You eat it. It was delicious. Then you excuse yourself. You go to the bathroom. You have a look in the mirror and you see all of it in your teeth. Perhaps a little bit of dressing on the sides. Man, you've got to be careful with your beards. But imagine you did that and then walked away. You did nothing about it. It would be crazy, wouldn't it? You may as well have not looked in the mirror at the first place. We look in the mirror so we can see the flaws that we can change. It's not enough to listen to God's word, James says. And he's talking to Christians. It is not enough, Christian, to listen to God's word. It's not enough to just look in the mirror. It's not enough to get a general idea of what God's word is saying to you. We must respond. We must confess our sin. As we look into the mirror of God's word and it exposes our sin, we need to confess it. We need to repent of it and trust in Jesus. We need to listen to God's word and not respond. If we don't respond, it's like we look in a mirror and ignore the flaws and we just keep going with our days. We have to look in the mirror and change. We have to look at God's word. We have to read and hear God's word and change. And we have to listen to it and be impacted. Otherwise, James says, there is no point in reading it. Have a look at verse 25. This is what James says he's referring to here. We must be people of God. We must be Christians, people of God, who look intently. Think about that idea of looking intently into a mirror. We have to look so closely at everything. Into that perfect law that gives freedom. We must be people who look into the mirror of God's word and know that God is calling us to change something. God's word demands a response from us in repentance and faith, that is to turn from sin which is to repent and to trust in Jesus, to have faith, to believe. And it is freedom, James says. All of God's word is for us to be challenged and changed. It is molding us and shaping us today, even. That means, James says, that we cannot leave the word void today. It is not for later, it's for right now. And so as we gaze into the mirror, as we listen to God's word, we have to ask, God, what are you challenging me on today? What are you calling me to change? What are you asking me to do? What are you asking me to say? What are you asking me to give up? What attitude do you want me to fix? What behavior must I change? And this, verse 25 says, gives us freedom. Listening to God helps us to flourish as Christians. This perfect law, God's word, as we look into this mirror, gives us freedom if we act. Now, friends, we get to verses 26 and 27 at the end of chapter 1, and I think James gives us a taste of what is coming, what he's going to write about in the coming chapters. You can see a few things as you gaze on it quickly. You can see three things, I think. I think you can see that James wants to address how Christians live in community. He wants to talk about the tongue. He wants to talk about how we use our words. And he wants us to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. Now, all these things are going to be in store for us in the weeks to come. So I'm not going to touch them. You just got to come back next week and be ready for what God is going to teach us in the weeks to come. But today, friends, brothers and sisters, today's passage is very concerned about how we listen. Are you listening? Every time God's word is read out, every time you read it privately at home, every single time that God speaks to us, it matters that we listen. So how are your listening skills? This passage challenges us in our daily lives to give time to God. If you're not giving time to God on a daily basis, this challenges us to do it. Don't just listen to the word, do what it says. Don't just gaze into the word of God and get nothing from it. That's the same as gazing into a mirror, seeing flaws and doing nothing about it. Brothers and sisters, let's not stand for half listening anymore. Let's pray. This is what we ask of you, God. Help us to not stand for half listening anymore. We pray that you would enable us to take time daily to read your word. We pray, Lord, that we would not just listen to it, deceiving ourselves, but obey it. We pray that you would use it as a mirror, that you would use God's word as a mirror. We pray that you would help us and show us our flaws and our failings. Help us to repent of our sin and shortcomings. And let us trust in Jesus and be forever changed. For our sake and your glory. Amen.